Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. 'Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Well, welcome to the Path Forward. It is Tuesday, December 2nd. Boy, where did the time go? It's been a busy Thanksgiving weekend, and I'm sure everybody enjoyed the downtime. Today, I wanted to talk about something that we've been trying to push on the show, especially on the roundtable, for the past couple of months, and that's situational awareness. With all of the predictive programming right now and all the messaging around some kind of major attack, somebody posted on X the other day that Laura Loomer has been saying that there's going to be a attack by Muslims. Yeah, it's all predictive programming. Look, regardless of whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter. But all of us should be vigilant to our surroundings, and you should be vigilant to the area you're in. And in the military, we call it situational awareness, right? Be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of your by the way, my camera's freaking out. Be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of who's around you. And most importantly, especially if you're in a neighborhood like mine, where you know everybody on the block, you should know who belongs there and who doesn't belong there. And it should not be a big muscle movement to identify people that aren't supposed to be there. And then make eye contact with people, right? Then when I walk through the store, I make eye contact with people. And I don't look down. I don't look away. I look right at them, right? I acknowledge everybody that I walk past for a couple of good reasons. One is I'm usually sizing them up. And two, I want to be aware of who's around me. And I don't take anything for granted these days. And I'm talking about all of this because the rhetoric and the narratives are all about civil war right now, right? It's full court press with civil war or some kind of a race war or, you know, some kind of a cultural war. They're pushing all the buttons right now. And Luongo had a post this morning that we traded a couple of messages on X about it. And one of them is that he's saying that the reason why it's full court press for the CIA, the rogue elements of the CIA and the deep state and all the rest of them, is that Maduro has capitulated to Trump and basically thrown the Biden administration, Mayorkas, and the others under the bus. And my response was, you know, if we had a functioning DOJ, this would be a milestone and a breakthrough because we know people would be prosecuted. And his retort was, well, do we want him to go full Lincoln? And if you don't know what happened during the Civil War with Lincoln, Lincoln actually arrested his political adversaries. He arrested the press. He did a lot of different things during the Civil War. And he did it for the right reasons, right? When the country's at war, especially when the president signs the Insurrection Act, it gives him a tremendous amount of power. And powers that he normally wouldn't have that would be governed by Congress. And Lincoln used and exercised all of those rights during the Civil War as a president because he was trying to preserve the Union. And he was trying to preserve the Union in the midst of a civil conflict. And you can look at history either way, good, bad, indifferent, it doesn't matter. He did what he did, right? And there's a concept that most people just can't get their head around, right? There's the what, there's how we want things to be. And then there's the what's so. This is the way it is. And most people can't handle the way it is because you get too wrapped up in this mindset of, well, this is how it should be. And we need to get away from that because Lincoln did. Lincoln got away from this is how it should be. He didn't even, from all accounts, he didn't even care how history would remember him. He was more concerned about preserving the Union than he was about his own historical references and reputation. And that's pretty significant for a president because modern day presidents are all wrapped up in polls and polling and public opinion and things that they shouldn't care about. They should care about the state of the Union and the health of the Union and doing things to preserve the Union. And we haven't had that in over 100 years. And so now we're on the other side of that. And Trump he's really got a decision to make. And again, I'm saying this from not just from Mike Flynn's comments, but also from Tom Luongo's, but also from Mike Flynn's comments. Flynn has been very critical of Trump over the past week. And he's openly criticizing Trump now because he realizes the same thing that most of us that have been in the military realize. And that is, at some point, you have to pull the trigger and you have to make the hard decision. Whether or not you want to do it is irrelevant. It's what's good for the country. And right now, we're in the midst of a full-on insurrection. This seditious six and this situation with Mark Kelly, that whole situation has been curated, orchestrated, timed, and released to create the maximum amount of dissent and chaos across the country. He knew exactly what he was doing. And the fact that he's still on the payroll of the military because he's a retiree means he's subject to recall, to active duty, and to be prosecuted under the Uniform Code of Military Justice for sedition, as he should be. And he knows it. But this is a carefully orchestrated and curated information campaign to try and incite civil war. Remember, it's all incitement operations right now. That's all they're doing is incitement operations. The reason why they haven't been successful at it is the same reason they weren't successful with ICE and with the judicial piece. It's because Americans are just done. They're done with the grift. They're done with the bullshit. They're tired of the lies. They're even more sick of the constant and sustained gaslighting by the media. They don't trust anything out of the government. They don't trust any of the players in government. And the real question boils down to, does Trump have the balls to declare the Insurrection Act, sign the Insurrection Act orders, and then carry out what he needs to do? Because what he really needs to do is military tribunals. That's what he needs to do. And that is going to require that he mobilizes the military. He arrests people that are sitting in office right now. He arrests judges. He arrests people in the media. I don't think he's got the stones to do it. I don't think the people around him have the stones to do it. And that's exactly what has to happen. If you want to restore the republic, and let's back up a little bit, because what precipitated this is the fact that Maduro gave a speech and basically said that the Biden administration, all the players in the Biden administration, as well as several others, were involved in not only the theft of multiple elections across the planet in little over 105 countries, I think is what the number was. Not only that, but the Biden administration was in close coordination with Maduro to start the mass migration into the United States and work closely with the governments of Colombia and Venezuela and other countries in South America to coordinate the mass movement of people, as well as cartel members, into the United States. And supposedly he's got the receipts. Immediately you see this uptick in narrative and rhetoric around civil war. Why? Because they would rather burn down the system than be held accountable for treason. But we have a bigger problem. The bigger problem is we have an AG and we have director of the FBI and deputy director of the FBI that are obviously incapable of following through with their oaths. They are completely incapable of prosecuting anyone because Comey and Letitia James were basically released because the prosecutors that were charged with pushing and prosecuting the case basically sat on it and killed it. And the question you have to ask is, why are these people still employed? If the AG was really doing her job like she's supposed to, we would see mass firings of both the DOJ and the FBI. And then we would see prosecutions for prosecutorial misconduct and for crimes committed while in duty. But we haven't seen any of that. We've seen a bunch of gaslighting, a bunch of Fox News appearances, but no real action. And subsequently, Mike Flynn's been critical of Trump. Flynn's been critical of Kash Patel. And look, I've been critical of him all the way along. And I don't look at this as a situation where I'm going to put all of my eggs in one basket and just trust the plan or trust Trump or trust any of the players. I don't care about the renter in the White House. I care about the state of the union. I care about the health of the union. I care about the state of the states and the health of the state governments. And the fact that state governments in at least 11 states have been usurped by voting machines that now have been acknowledged to have been tainted and to have been set up to cheat, those people need to be held accountable. And those people need to go to prison. And those elections need to be overturned. And at the end of the day, if Kash Patel is not willing to step up and do the work as the director of the FBI, he needs to go because it's a race against time. We cannot go through another election cycle with machines that are set up to cheat. We have to go through an election cycle where the American people can feel like and see the actual results of the election. There's always going to be a certain amount of fraud that goes into the election process, no matter how many countermeasures you put in place, there's always going to be a certain amount of fraud. But the point is, the public trust, we can regain the government can regain the public trust if people realize that their vote counts and that these shitbags aren't installed by AIPAC or the other foreign lobbyists in this country. But the fact that since 2016, the elections have been so tainted. And I'm going to go all the way back to 2008 when Obama came to town. The elections have been so tainted since then, the American public doesn't trust anything. They don't trust any of the election results. And look, most people would be okay with whatever outcome, left, right, doesn't matter. As long as they felt like it wasn't a blatant cheat and these people weren't blatantly installed. And that's where we are. We're on this side of the spectrum where people believe that everyone in office was blatantly installed and not elected. You can't continue as a country and you can't continue with elections if no one has confidence in the process itself. And the fact that the AG and the FBI have been focused on everything else other than the most important part of our institution right now, which is fixing the election process and holding people accountable for that, as well as the Epstein stuff, the public has no confidence whatsoever. And so the momentum and tide is changing against Trump, despite what you may think. And look, I could be 12 months ahead, I could be 2 years ahead of where the public is right now. But the public sentiment is turning against Trump. And it's because, yet again, the public sees that he's staffed all these agencies with people that are completely incapable of doing the job. And grifters around him, including Susie Wiles and all the other lobbyist darlings that she's put in charge of the federal agencies. And the fact that she's completely dismantled the MAHA movement has tainted the views of hundreds, if not thousands, of people already. So he's running out of time. And it's a race against time. Because if we get to the midterms and people don't show up to the polls because they don't have any confidence, or they're sick of the fact that the rhinos can't be dislodged and you can't primary them out, we're going to have bigger problems. Then we will have a civil war. And the question you got to ask is really just one simple question. And that is, does Trump and the people around him have the stones to do what needs to be done, what is necessary to preserve the union? That's really the question you have to ask, because there is no other question right now. There's no question about, did people commit treason? Yes, they did. There's no question about, is the media in conjunction with the liberal elites and China and all the other players that are here, are they actively involved in sedition right now? Yes, they are. Are they actively gaslighting the American public? Yes, they are. Is Congress completely ineffective? Yes, they are. Is the judiciary completely compromised by judges that have no qualifications whatsoever to be on the bench? Yes, they are. So you have to look at the bigger picture and ask the question, do they have the stones to do what is necessary to preserve the union? And if they do, are they able to message it to the American people so the American people can A, believe it, and B, support it? And I propose to you that they not only can't do that, but Trump doesn't have the balls to do it. And I would love to be wrong. But the fact that he's gone back and forth and back and forth on the Epstein files, as well as the JFK files, et cetera, I have my doubts. And it's not Trump that I doubt. It's the people around Trump. It's Susie Wiles. It's Jared Kushner. It's the people around him that don't have the stones. Because you can't just look at Trump and say, Trump's the guy. He's surrounded by people that provide him with input and advice all the time. And so the question really becomes, does he have the stones to do it? And I would say if he had the right cabinet around him, the right staff around him, absolutely he could. Absolutely he would. But given what we've seen so far, given how we've seen things develop, given how completely ineffective the DOJ is, I don't have any faith in that. And I would absolutely 100% love to be wrong. But none of the indications and none of the people around him give me confidence that he's going to get the right advice. And that's the part that really sticks in my craw. Because yet again, he surrounded himself with people that are completely ineffective. And the fact that Susie Wiles still controls and is the gatekeeper to keep good people away from him tells me everything I need to know. So we're left with an existential crisis, which is, will the union survive? Will we have another election in 2028? And the answer is, I don't know. I don't even know if we'll make it to the midterms, because the American public is disillusioned. You hear most of Trump's base screaming at the top of their lungs to arrest somebody, especially Brennan, Clapper, Hayden, everybody from the Obama camp, even Obama. People want to see Obama tried for treason. The man committed treason. He literally conducted a coup to usurp a sitting president. That's treason. And I don't care how you water it down. I don't care what narrative you use. The bottom line is, this is the real thing. And this is a time and a moment in history where we've reached a culmination point. And the culmination point is, we either do something to correct the ship or we go down with the ship. We basically have 12 months, less than that, 11 months now, until the midterm elections. And they either do something to fix the election process or they capitulate. Because I guarantee you that in all the swing states, they have institutionalized the cheating. I mean, we just did an election here in November. Same machines, still there. Still have polling stations instead of precincts. Haven't fixed any of that. Nobody in the state apparatus has been held accountable. We know the machines are tainted. Nobody's been held accountable. It's a race against time. And, you know, the president has the tools at his disposal to make the right decisions and to make the hard decisions. And unfortunately, no decision is a decision. And I would really like to see him step up and the people around him step up and realize we have to do something right now and not wait. But thus far, they haven't done it. They haven't stepped up. It's been one thing after another. And look, I know that Luongo and EM and all those guys think that it's all the city of London. That may be true. It could be the city of London. It could be Muslim Brotherhood. It could be China. They could all be involved. But that does not exonerate Trump from having to make the tough decisions. And I don't see a master plan. In fact, I don't see a plan at all. I don't see 5D chess. I see a bunch of movement, a bunch of deal making, but there has to be multiple lines of operation that are going all at the same time. Like, one of the first things that he should have done just from the mass migration and immigration was shut down every single one of the NGOs that was outside of the country, especially in Panama, that was enabling the mass migration of people into this country. They are all still in existence. They are all still functioning, just sitting there waiting for the next administration to come to restart business as usual. The first thing he should have done, the first executive order he should have issued, was send the 82nd Airborne down there, retake the Panama Canal, arrest every one of those NGOs and everybody affiliated with it, trace their roots all the way back to the United States, and arrest everybody here that enabled mass migration, because it's treason. And those NGOs that were operating in Panama, that's an act of war. The military's job is to protect our borders. That's their job. They should have been employed to go protect our borders on day one, not day 309. Day one. Go down there and take care of that. Plant the flag in the ground and take back our country. That should have been their mandate. But this nonsense that we have to go through this legal process. No, we don't. This is a direct violation of our sovereignty. I don't know what part of that's ambiguous. I don't know why it's confusing to anybody that's in the administration. I also don't know why it's taken this long for us to realize that Panama is a strategic asset for the entire West Coast. Why is that a mystery? But instead, what do we get? We get a bunch of theater and drama. Why do we not have a division of troops on the ground in Panama retaking the Panama Canal and throwing the Chinese out and then arresting everyone in those NGOs? I'll tell you why. Because a significant number of those NGOs are funded by the same people that fund Trump and fund the party. And at the same time, all of that's going on. You not only roll up the people that are running the NGOs, you not only secure the Panama Canal, but in one stroke, you cut almost in half the human trafficking element that's coming out of Panama. Because it's not just the flow of immigrants that's coming through Panama. It's the flow of people being trafficked by the cartels and a various host of actors that are in the human trafficking business. And part of the human trafficking was being conducted by the U.S. government. They were moving 5,000 kids a week across the border via airplane and flown to all parts of the United States. I want somebody to explain to me why it is that that was not a priority on day number one to shut that down. Why are we on day 309 and we're looking at NGOs that are still waiting and still operating and still helping and enabling the trafficking of children and human beings into the United States? That whole narrative that they've stopped immigration is a lie. It's an absolute lie. And the only guy talking about it is Michael Yon. He's the only guy that's been talking about this mass migration and all these NGOs. And when he said it almost 6 months ago, I did some research. Turns out, and here's the kicker. Not only are these NGOs still in business, but they're sitting there on a former United States Army base operating. Tell me that's not a slap in the face to the American public. Not only are they occupying land that we paid for, we developed, and we occupied, but they're sitting there being funded by the United States and coordinated from the Department of Homeland Security as well as the State Department. Why is Mayorkas still walking free? Why? Day two should have been roll up all the actors that enabled this. And here we are, day 310, 320, and we still don't have any of that apparatus shut down. That's why I say that we have an existential crisis on our hands. Because if this goes into 2026, and let's backward plan from November, that basically means you have to shut all of this down by no later than June. And you're doing it at the behest of a Congress who, after January 1st, all of those senators and congressmen that are up for re-election, their only focus after January 1st is re-election. They are not going to care, and they are not going to honor any agreement, no matter how much you coerce them. So your timeline just shrank another 2 months. So now you're into April. So by April, you need to shut down the NGOs, you need to arrest the perpetrators here in the U.S., and you need to shut down the flow of human trafficking that's coming into this country, and at the same time deal with the cartels. What do you think the odds are of that if we're in December and none of that happened in the first year? You know, with this DOJ that's supposed to be the right players and they're all in. Uh-huh. Not seeing it. And the frustrating part for guys like me is that we see what has to be done. And all you got to do is tap the right people on the shoulder. And guess what? We'll go get it done. Because the other side of this is worse than where we are right now. The public blowback from this is not going to be nearly as bad than if we get into a civil war because we allow the left to retake control of the House of the Congress when they've already taken control of several states and now they're going full communist. What do you think the odds are that they're going to slow down? They're going to go full commie the moment they take office. And if we allow them to do that, it doesn't matter who's sitting in the White House. It's civil war. And you would think that somebody in the administration would be standing on the roof of the White House going, wake up! But instead, we see these cartoon characters come out and talk about things that, well, they committed treason. Why haven't they been arrested? Why hasn't Pam Bondi been fired because she hasn't left Florida since she was nominated and put into office? Somebody explain that to me. If you're nominated to go to D.C. and be the Attorney General for the United States, you should be in D.C. acting as the Attorney General, not sitting on your ass on Fox News in Florida. It's a very simple equation. Hold people accountable. And if they're not going to do their job, remove them. There's not a lot of math there. It's very simple. But instead, it's rat-a-tat-tat, rat-a-tat-tat, tick-tock, tick-tock. Well, guess what? The clock's ticking and you're running out of time. And if you don't make the hard decisions, and I mean soon, those decisions will be made for you by the other side, because the enemy gets a vote. And when the enemy votes this time, they're all in. And the difference between the enemy we're fighting and our side of the fence is very simple. They're all in lockstep. They're always in lockstep. They don't get out of lockstep. They act as a team. They move as a team. We don't do that. We're always fighting to see who's going to be in control and who's the smartest person in the room. Start making decisions is what Trump needs to do. And hard decisions. And I mean yesterday. Otherwise, it's going to be a very long 27 and a very violent 27 if he doesn't. So that brings me back to my original topic, which is why I'm talking about situational awareness. Because now more than ever, we are primed for some kind of an event and people going off the reservation. And I don't see this subsiding in any way, shape, or form until the big players are arrested. Obama, Brennan, Clapper, Hayden, Axelrod, Rice, Holder. You could go down the list. They all need to be rolled up, every single one of them, especially Brennan, because a lot of the elements of the CIA are probably still acting on the behest of John Brennan. And that needs to stop. The CIA needs to be, you know, JFK was right. The CIA needs to be splintered into a million pieces. They should have never been allowed to be created and have no oversight whatsoever. And the fact that the defense industrial complex and the CIA are completely out of hand, that needs to stop yesterday. But my point, my original point is we're primed for some kind of an event. So be aware of where you are, who's around you, who should be there, who shouldn't be there. Look them in the eyes and be ready for anything. Because now more than ever is a more dangerous time than any other time in our history. Because we have part of the population that's been convinced that the Mango Emperor is bad, and the other part of the conversation, the other part of the population that is completely awake, and we see exactly what's going on. And I don't think we've ever been so heavily infiltrated in our history than we are at this point right now. Not just by the Chinese, but the Chinese, the cartels, terrorist organizations, you name it. They're all here. They were allowed to come in the last 4 years. And maybe nothing will happen. But I would be remiss in my duty not to warn people to be awake and to be ever and omnipresent wherever you are. Stay out of your phone, look around, and be ready for anything. And even if it's into next year, which it will be into next year, that you're going to be situationally aware and vigilant, you should be situationally aware and vigilant. Because if it doesn't happen today, it'll happen tomorrow. And they have been messaging this both through all of their surrogates as well as through bots and AI for the last year that there's some big attack coming. And maybe it's a psyop, maybe it's not. But I would not be able to sit in this chair if I didn't say you should pay attention to it. Whether I believe it or not doesn't matter. We should pay attention to it. None of us were paying attention when 9/11 happened. And we bought the story. We bought the narrative. We went and fought the war. Not this time. This time, if this happens, I can tell you who's behind it. Mossad's behind it. MI6 is behind it, and the CIA. It will not be Iran. It will not be the Muslim Brotherhood that's in Qatar or Hamas or Hezbollah. This is all being messaged from a central location, and it's a very coordinated message, and it's a very well-articulated message, which means it is not coming from some cave in Afghanistan. This is coming from an intelligence agency, one of the three or all three. Take your pick. But that's the messaging right now. And this time, we don't buy the narrative. This time, we go right to the source to figure out who is behind these people, and this time, we take the fight to the end. All the way to the end. Because when this kicks off, it's going to be a sustained and long fight. Probably 10 years, if not more. And I'm sorry, I don't have any faith in Trump. I don't. I don't think there's 5G chess. I never believed in that horse shit anyway. That shit briefs well. But when you've been in DC and you know just how petty and how unloyal those people are, even to each other, then you wouldn't be surprised why I think that. Because I've been in the hallways of both the Senate buildings, I've been in the White House, I've been in the Pentagon, I've been in all the intelligence agencies, and I can tell you that there is no, the loyalty lasts to the fucking door. So I don't have any faith that there's 5D chess going on or any of that happy horse shit. I think what they're doing is reacting, and they're reacting to the wrong things. And I think they have a view of the big picture, but I'm not sure everybody knows what to do, because it sure bears that out. Because if Trump was really smart, he would have taken care of Panama first. And there was a lot of rhetoric around it. And there was some visits by the, you know, Radcliffe and by Hegseth and a few others. But do we have troops there? Have we really taken it seriously and retaken Panama? No, we haven't. We haven't done anything. And if you don't know why Panama is so important, you should go study your history, because it is the major line of communication for the entire country. And it is a strategic choke point for shipping and for goods and services for the entire continent of North America and South America. And the fact that Colombia and Venezuela sit on the tip of South America, those are strategic. At least the saber rattling against Venezuela is a smart move, because you're putting China and the Russians on notice that this is our neck of the woods and you're not going to encroach on it. You're not bringing missiles in here. You're not bringing your troops in here. You're not going to establish bases in here. So we have to fight next to our front door. No, no, we're going to fight you over in the South China Sea, and you're going to stay over there, and you're going to stay there until we tell you that you can leave there. That's the right message. That's the message that should have happened, but the follow through is not there, which is the problem. It's the follow through that I'm watching. I don't care about their words. I care about their actions, and their actions to this point say we're not going to do anything. And the longer this goes, and the farther we get into 26, the less likely it is that he's going to do the right thing and make the hard decision. And that has to happen before the midterms. People have to be arrested before the midterms, bar none. People have to be arrested before the midterms. People have to stand trial before the midterms. And it clearly can't be a civilian court. It has to be a military court. It has to be military tribunals that carry the day. And maybe those are being arranged right now. We don't know about it. I don't know. Because the people I know in the system are dark right now, which means they're either running ops or they're planning ops. But either way, if we don't see action by February of next year, game over, folks. Game over. So I say again, be situationally aware, no matter where you are. And I would avoid large public gatherings for the rest of this year and at least half of next year. Because the longer this goes, the more traction that the left gets or the elite gets, however you want to call that, the folks inciting this, the more likely it is that people are going to go off the reservation. The more likely it is that we'll see some kind of an event if it's not already planned and set for a execution date. And look, I've heard all kinds of dates for coming out of both social media. I'm not buying into dates right now. I don't care about that. What I care about is, number one, be ready for anything. And number two, don't take anything for granted. So I am going to say what I want to say there, Surf, because I don't see any action. And I'm not going to sit here and blindly say everything's fine, especially after the last couple of months. And the fact that they couldn't even prosecute Comey, even if they made a deal with Comey, even if they coordinated to get his, you know, to get evidence to hold other people accountable, why haven't those arrests happened already? They have a mountain of information on these people already. They have the receipts from all the intercepts from both NSA as well as other intelligence agencies that were handed to them by Tulsi Gabbard. They have the receipts. This isn't a matter of they have to build the right case. This is a matter of they have to execute. So until he executes, I'm not going to give him the benefit of the doubt. When he executes, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I call it like I see it, not how I want it to be. And, you know, if the guy wants to blow the last 4 years and blow the 4 years he's in now because he's too worried about his image, good luck with that. It's not going to work out for you. It's a very simple equation. The American people put you back in office because we expected to see results. And you said there would be results. And thus far, we haven't seen any. And the fact that all of this information was handed to the DOJ on a silver platter by the intelligence agencies should have been a slam dunk. It should have been a very, very short period of time between the evidence being reviewed and people getting rolled up. And I mean perp walked. The American public want to see people perp walked. Full stop. We haven't seen that yet. So until that happens, I am going to say what I want about the guy, and I am going to criticize him. When he does stuff good, I'll give him credit. When he does stuff bad, I'll hammer him. Don't get in the office if you can't take the heat. It's pretty simple. And the fact that nobody in DOJ that has stonewalled these prosecutions been prosecuted themselves, that's a problem. That's a real problem. But the bigger problem is you have an AG that's sitting in Florida and not in Washington, D.C. That's a problem. And maybe she is now. Maybe she got the memo. But until that happens and you actually start seeing results, we should all be critical of them. I'll give them credit when credit is due. Until then, get to work. We have a country to save. I'll be back tomorrow night with the live chat on Substack. We'll be back Thursday with the roundtable. And I'm going to be doing a Sunday rant now on, not that I don't do a Tuesday rant, but I'll be doing a Sunday rant on Substack. So look for that on Substack. And trying to remember the folks that Mike Ferris is going to have on his show this week. Anyway, look for a show. I know Mike's got two or three shows. He told me like three times. I still drove home, forgot about it. Sorry, Mike. But yeah, if you're not watching Mike's show, watch it. He's got I told him he should have Bracken. We had coffee today, and I told him, you got to have Bracken on every week because, you know, Bracken's, it's a perfect venue for Matt. He can go on the show and spend an hour and link everything together. Same thing with Michael Yawn and EM. And Crypto Rich did a show with Alex Kraner, Tom Luongo, and EM Burlingame on Friday the 29th. And if you haven't watched it, I suggest you watch it. If you haven't watched the Tucker Sean Ryan interview, I'll leave you with this. Sean Ryan says almost at the start of the show that he had to lean out away from the topics, away from the show, away from the notoriety, et cetera, last year because it's too negative. Everybody I've talked to that's in the business right now has said the same thing. We've all taken our time and leaned out, and now we're leaned back in. And we're leaning in now because this is the most important time over the next 6 months is the most important time in American history. And now's the time to pay attention, folks. Right now, pay attention. Forget about football. Forget about hockey. Forget about basketball. And focus on what's going on across the planet. Focus on what's going on right here. Watch for action. That's the most important thing right now, is action. And make it known that you're unhappy, because they're listening. There's a reason why I say the things I do the way I say them, because I know there's other people on the other end in DC that are listening to a lot of us. So make your voice heard and take nothing for granted. God bless. One team, one fight.